This is the Wise Men Say podcast, the first game we can analyse from the Dick Advocaat era. A new managerial change means Martin McFadden was busy telling the world what he thinks about it last week, so we naturally decided to give him no respite and invite him in, the editor-in-chief of A Love Supreme. You love that media duty, really, don't you, Martin?
No. I actually had my van parked around the stadium with light. You know, it was the only van with a heater.
With the sign saying, go away.
There was a bit of van jealousy going on. Aye, well, this is it. And free coffee and pizza going on. But it just got to the point where every time I went home, the rang us again. So I thought I may as well just sit in the back of my van with my laptop.
Do you want to pass them on to Chris now?
Well, he wasn't available. He said he was scared to do them.
Dear me.
His mum said I was more handsome, so I was like, okay.
I know, I haven't seen Chris on the telly yet, have you noticed?
He's got a good face for radio, apparently.
I'm not one of these people who looks out for Chris.
Well, you would notice him, though, wouldn't you? Well, I'm not saying you don't need to look
like
out
I was
for
watching,
him. If you know somebody, they come on the telly.
Yeah, but I'm watching MasterChef and Chris is there. That's the kind of thing I'm watching.
Well, that is
I'm not going to be watching like Look North or whatever.
I'm going to turn this into a cookery.
I'm busy.
You don't support local media.
If you want. Well, you know.
Right. Also, making his Wise Men Say debut is Neil Bassett from Son and Band Hide and Beast. Delighted you could join us, Neil. Forgot to ask if you wanted a song plug-in or anything like that. Might be a bit late now.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm here purely as a pundit. Okay. I'm not here to plug anything.
No? Well, you have all permission to do so if you like.
We should talk about Neil's like career as a centre-half, though, later on, if we
can. You can do that if you want. When we run out of things to say about Dick Advocaat, which probably in about 10 minutes or so. Shall we hear about him first on the game?
Yeah.
With the long balls, that is difficult to play against, to get the controlling, because they don't play via the midfield, they play with the long balls and then the support. Difficult to play against, but we did really well. We did not give a lot of chances away. We get the first chance, the first half is De Vaux. If you score, then it's an open chance. Then they have to come even more. They have to take more risk and they get more space. But I did not expect the goal from West Ham because everything was under control. But unfortunately, the luck was not on our side.
I expected a goal from West Ham, Martin, in the 80th minute because that's the way Sunderland do things generally. Just on that basis more than anything.
It was a foul though, wasn't it, to be fair? But
I think West Ham could have had a couple of penalties though. Even that out a little.
Yeah, I always think with Nolan is like he's very keen to fall over, and I think referees have
and then let the referee know about
that over the years. You know, it's almost like backfiring on him now. All the ones he won for Bolton and Newcastle, but I was disappointing. But I mean, Defoe had enough opportunities to put us ahead. pretty easy chances for him, so I think we've only got ourselves to blame. Played better though.
More on the Defoe thing. Your first impressions, Neil, of Dick Advocaat, the change from his side to Poyet's side?
We seemed a bit more organised, I thought. We got forward a little faster.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, there's a tactical masterstroke in there that hasn't been picked up on yet, which is like Sam Allardyce, he's been under fire and under pressure a little bit and hasn't been too great at West Ham, and he's been mentioned as a possible successor at Sunderland, which I, for one, don't want. And I think lots of people don't want.
May not.
And I think maybe throwing the game, give West Ham the points, ease the pressure on him, he's less likely to come here. I think it's
one way of looking at it.
Long-term plan.
You mentioned getting forward quicker. That was the obvious thing, Gareth, wasn't it? The most notable thing. Well, I think everybody can agree on.
It was pretty much route one, wasn't it? I mean, they kind of played with a narrow front three, even though, I mean, Advocaat was saying that Wickham was playing in the hole. And then it was looking for the flick-ons to Defoe. I mean, Defoe's movement in the first half was excellent. Second half, it just went a bit flat, which worried me a bit because, the work rate and effort's there, but I don't know, it's just you panic a little bit because you just think, where's the quality going to come from in the team? Like, behind Defoe, I mean, I know Defoe missed an absolute sitter, really. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about Defoe in more depth later, but I don't know, I just that I was a little bit worried at the end because firstly we'd lost the game and we didn't really deserve to lose the game. It was a dreadful match.
Is that not to be expected though, when it's a new manager, new ideas, that they can sort of go along with what they've been doing on the training ground for so long, but as you tire and as you wear out, concentration levels drop, surely? Or am I being too nice on them?
I suppose quite a lot of goals are scored. Quite a lot of goals are scored at that stage in the game, aren't there? I thought we looked as likely to score as what they did at that point. I don't know whether I just had more to drink or whether I was being enthusiastic. But I thought overall it was like, even though we lost, and I was gutted about that, I thought it was a much better performance. And we did mix it up a bit. We did keep the ball and played around, but we also like got it forward early, you know. And I think the fact that Bridcut wasn't playing probably had something to do with the fact that we were passing forward instead of backwards and sideways.
You do wonder, we mentioned it last week, you do wonder about his role.
Well, if you kind of get a game when Catamol's not there, then he's obviously just not going to feature, you would have thought.
Enough to be positive about, though, generally.
I mean, if you consider that the team hadn't had that long with the new manager,
yeah,
and
exactly,
the manager hadn't had long with the team, and you can see the improvement already after a short amount of time, then with the international break coming up and stuff, then, you know, there's hope.
That's seamless. We'll hear from Advocat now on working with the players in the break.
No, the good thing is that we don't have so many international players. So they will come back early. Beside that, in 3 days' time, you cannot change so many things. Give them the confidence. I took a risk with Wickham on that position, but he played brilliant. So that's a really positive thing. And that way, some players, tactically wise, has to improve more than what they can do when we have the ball. So that kind of things I take to the training ground.
Okay. Mention Conor Wickham there, Gareth. You haven't been his biggest fan. What do you think?
I thought he did well. Worked hard, which is something that's incredibly frustrating when you watch him week to week. You don't see him putting enough in for somebody of his frame and, you know, power, really. He should be dominating teams, and he was good. He was working back and winning tackles and stuff like that, so that was great to see. And, you know, I'm sure looking ahead to the Newcastle game, 2 weeks' time, that front three, you wouldn't be surprised if you maybe went with it again, just to put them under pressure, because they've got no centre-halves. Really.
A couple of people have tweeted in mentioning Conor Wickham, actually. Dupe says, Dick Cook, Wickham actually running around, he went for it, only negative was the subs needed in reducing quicker. I think it's fair to say people noticed Wickham. He got man of the match as well on Sky.
He did, yeah. It's a bit surprising, I think, because you don't normally see a man of the match on a losing side, especially if a forward in a team who haven't scored a goal.
And Her Halen's tweeting as well, a much better performance. Wickham's effort was outstanding. Sadly, I think we're just a bit rubbish. He doesn't use the word rubbish. But I mean,
what does he use?
It seems like a long time waiting, long time coming, this, doesn't it, Martin? The Wickham using his frame and, you know, his obvious physical attributes to get around the field.
It's a weird one. I mean, I remember having a bit of an argument with my dad about it over the summer, where he was saying, we don't need to buy a striker because Wickham's now proved that he's ready and he'll play well this season, as obviously this was last June. I think this was just after watching America play in the World Cup and Alador being going off injured and everything. But yeah, he should be better. I guess people who are like supportive of Wickham could say that he's been out wide, and it's quite easy to get isolated out there. But then other times he looks like he's hiding to me, and he hasn't had the season. He is really just inconsistent, isn't he? When he's good, you think like, wow, he can do that. He's as strong as anyone. You know, he can the goals that he scored, say against Cardiff in the air last year, no one could have stopped him. It's a bit like Kenwyn Jones, isn't it? Like when he's for his size, he should be braver. You know, I remember a few years ago when we played a pre-season game in Denmark, and it was like silence. You know, because there was hardly anyone there, and this lad came in and took the ball off him, and he squealed like a baby, and it was like he hardly touched him. You know, and if that had happened at five aside with your mates, you would have just laughed at him. So
he's drummed into pros in this day and age, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you watched El Clasico on the Sunday night, then
embarrassing.
But Naylor probably suits Wickham then, if we have a manager who's going to go more direct. Because Martin's just mentioned now, he didn't really have a place on Poyet's system, but even when he did play up front, Gus isn't likely to get the ball forward quickly. Wickham would prefer that, you would have thought.
You'd think so. And like Martin just said there, sometimes you feel like he's hiding. And against West Ham, you could notice him. he didn't get a goal, but he was everywhere. And yeah, proactive. It's you know, hopefully it'll suit him.
Quite brave anyway, Gareth, wasn't it? The three strikers playing together. Like a 4-3-3, obviously, because Poy played that, but it was very different, wasn't it?
It was, and you didn't feel as though we were overexposed. I don't know if that was to do with West Ham, because if you look at the comparative record of the last 8 games, I think West Ham are only 1 point better off and about a goal better off or something ridiculous like that than Sunderland. Maybe not a goal, I might be exaggerating there since we've only scored one in the last 7. But yeah, I think, you know, we didn't really look in any danger at any point in the game, and I think that's what makes it so frustrating, that they lost it, and then the results over the weekend, which every team in the bottom 7 lost. And if we'd got that point, again, like you're saying, the decisions, like, yeah, we might have had a penalty against us, a couple of borderline, but
it's an annoying time. It's an annoying time to lose a game when every you know, everyone else dropping points. And if
that goal had been in the 3rd minute, and then the game was just a pretty dull affair from there, people wouldn't have been reacting the same. And
especially the fact that Larsson got spear tackled. I mean, how can you not give that as a foul? I don't know. I mean, we've had some ridiculous decisions go against us in the last few months.
Totally. I mean, if you look at the, who was it that fouled him?
It was a Nene.
He looked over to the ref.
He turns around and looks at the ref straight away.
Like,
he knows he's done it.
You know. Yeah. And then he looked at Larsson and kind of went,
a lack of appeal from the Sunderland players. Do you think that?
But Larsson was appealing from the ref. He was like, "Oh, it mustn't be a foul."
Well, yeah, it was surprising that everyone didn't appeal. But how often do you see referees change their mind anyway?
Mm. I mean, it was just slow motion, really. It happened after the foul. It was just rubbish goal to concede all round at that time in the game. But they didn't really look under any threat. You know, when Virginie came on, it didn't really wasn't particularly different to when Brown was on.
I worry about Virginie when Poyet's not there.
Mm.
I don't know why. There isn't maybe a logical reason why that is. I just feel that Gus Poyet being there was perhaps Virginie's comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, you could tell that he liked him. I mean, he is more of a footballer than Brown, obviously, and at least he can train every day. I think that's the thing about Brown, when you see him get injured, like we were saying on Saturday, well, is that him out for the season? Because he can't run around that much anyway. He can't play 2 games in a week. So if he's got a bad knock, then, I mean, his knees are knackered anyway. So it makes you wonder whether that might be the back four, you know, for a good few weeks. But
well, you might be out. That might be it for Brown. I mean, he's out of contract in the summer.
Yeah, 35. He might never play again.
It's interesting though, Virginie now, because perhaps he's playing for his future here. Because was Poyet still here, you would have thought it was a certainty that we'd go and try and sign him permanently next season.
And he's moved next door.
Now he's got to try and impress Lee Conklin in these last few games. You would have thought.
Oh, the opposite is he doesn't want to be here now that Poyet's not here anyway. So
yeah, possibly. I mean, we had that with Key last year, didn't we? When he wanted to get fit for the World Cup, and he was still our player, but exactly, just buggered off.
Yeah. Terrible.
But then maybe we should have signed him for $10 million and not Rodwell.
Would have been an idea, wonderful.
Well, I don't know if he would have. Well,
that's
not
if he would have come for $10 million, wasn't it?
Was it that time which they wanted? Was it? I think with Rodwell and Key, I think, you know, the attitude of Key and Rodwell, I think, are incomparable. If you look at, you know, someone who has
Rodwell's
been genuinely injured,
he's improved,
like Rodwell, and had to come back.
Slowly, wouldn't you?
Slowly. Right. But it's interesting about Rodwell's role, because you mentioned, Gareth, about being exposed, and now every single person that I know before the game either tweeted or texted me saying they're concerned when they saw the team that we were going to have a similar situation that we saw against Villa, against QPR, where they were going to overload down our right, Van Aanholt was going to be exposed. Now, as it happens, he didn't put Gomez out there, because Gomez was hung out to dry, wasn't he, against QPR, and made a scapegoat to a certain degree, I guess. Rodwell was over there. Makes more sense, because he's a lot more athletic,
do a job,
and he
there,
could get around
he,
the pitch a lot faster.
I mean, that's the way Sky lined it, wasn't it, as if Gomez was going to be on the left.
Because he's left-footed, so you would just naturally think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think it was more of like a kind of, obviously not the same player, but when we used to put Stefan Schwartz out there, and he was kind of like a minder for Michael Gray bombing forward, and then also, you know, like you could hold onto the ball, similar, like physically. Hopefully he becomes the same player as Schwartz, but I think with Rodwell, is he's been played too far forward this year. Like, they've been relying on his like creative, you know, creativeness, but I don't think he's strong there. I think, you know, they should have played him in the sort of Cattermole role instead of Bridcut. And I think, like, talking to people at clubs that he's been at, he's probably going to end up being a centre-half anyway with his height and his strength.
I thought against Aston Villa, I was quite encouraged by his performance
for 5 minutes.
Before we capitulated. Yeah.
I think with Rodwell,
5 minutes.
Yeah. He's pretty good at arriving in the box at a good time, getting onto stuff. I mean, he hasn't really played that well all season. When he's played, he's got 3 goals, well, one from the corner and then I think 2 from a corner and then 1 from the one against Hull. So which was a vital point, really. So I don't know, I mean, I know what you're saying about him, you'd like to see him play a bit deeper, but I think when Cattermole comes back in, it'll be Cattermole, Larson and Rodwell, and Rodwell
this
plays
this style of suit him more, won't it? Where you're not relying on keeping the ball
if
as
you've
much.
Got, if
the game's fast, if you're moving and playing at a faster pace and you can almost play instinctively and off the cuff, I think that's going to suit someone like
that. I just mean, like, earlier on in the season, I remember, like, at Burnley away, he was like, pushing forward with the ball. I don't think he's got that in his game. I think arriving late with the power that he's got to head the ball in or whatever, but he wasn't going to come forward and, like, pick off defences and, like, play a pass like Sessegnon or someone could. I think he's fit enough to go box to box, but I think if he was sat in front of the defence, I mean, the thing that, like, Cattermole's back again, but how much has he been available since we played Villa at Christmas? You know, I think he's played a couple of games and he hasn't been fit for them. So I think, in hindsight, if we put Rodwell in that position in his absence, we would have, you know, with Larson next to him, I don't think we'd be in this situation. Mm-hmm. I think Gomez and Bridcut have got a lot to answer for in terms of, like, the midfield, but obviously Poyet stayed faithful to them and it's backfired on him, like, in the QBR game.
But on the other hand as well, how often has Rodwell been available over that period?
That's true.
And Gomez has actually bagged a couple of goals, Gomez. He's probably our third top scorer or something.
He's got about 3 or 4.
Probably is, actually.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that season Johnson's we got relegated on the reel and we had about 4 players on 4 goals.
Yeah, remember? Paul Stewart was top scorer. Yeah.
Well, it's about that now, isn't it?
Yeah,
everyone's on about
something like that, yeah.
4 down to 0.
Yeah.
God, I hope that's
Wes Brown's probably scored as many through own goals or something.
Yeah, probably.
He's usually top of those charts.
Yeah, I think O'Shea's got a couple of own goals, I think. Maybe 3, I don't know. I can't remember. So many this season, I think we had like 3 in one game against West
Ham. O'Shea won Ireland Player of the Year.
Mm.
See that?
Yeah. Well, he's been excellent this season. I mean, he had a mare, didn't he, against Villa?
Villa, yeah.
But aside from that, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, last year, the people that sort of sit around me at home games were criticising Larson and O'Shea and have been for a couple of seasons, saying that those are the players that we should get rid of. They've probably been our best two players this year. But then that just shows how much we haven't moved on. But they're both good pros. But
it's almost that he's played that well this season, you almost wish he was a couple of years younger now, don't you?
Well, that's it. I mean, we have to defend deeper when you've got him and Brown and you can't sort of, like, press the game as much. But he can almost wait for someone to come at him and then intercept the ball. He's really good there, and he's really good at organising the defence. But, you know, eventually we're going to have to buy some young centre halves.
Yeah,
or promote one of the ones we've got if they're good enough.
Not make it quite as deal permanent.
Yeah,
you even forget he's there, don't you?
Yeah.
Quite as.
Was Alvarez on the bench on?
No,
no. That made me wonder, like, because I think with this new system, as well as playing 3 strikers, he can obviously play a wide man and a creative wide man in that position who's capable of scoring a goal. So I don't know whether he was injured, or whether he just doesn't fancy him at all.
Well, I know he had a problem, didn't he? But in the week he was saying that, like Advocat was saying, that everyone's available apart from Giaccherini and Cattermole, didn't he? And Buckley, I think.
That's what I was thinking. I thought he was on the bench. But
I mean, if you've been watching, is Alvarez the kind of player you want in a relegation battle? He hasn't got enough. I don't think he's got enough positives about him to outweigh the negatives in the situation that we're in, and I think that's the problem.
You'd have him on the bench, though, wouldn't you? You know, I think it's a bit like when Giaccherini came on against Cardiff last year and won 4-0, and he's got, like, skill and he's got a goal in his locker.
When a game's stretched and defenders are tired and stuff,
I'd have him on the bench ahead of Buckley for sure.
But I mean, who was on the bench? What more? Johnson, Graham, Jones, Keeper. Can't remember who else. Quartez wasn't on. Alvarez wasn't on, obviously.
Virginie was obviously on.
Virginie on, yeah. So,
do you think that's the point that the guy who tweeted in earlier made then, that could have used our substitutes a little better, freshen things up earlier?
Well, you would have had to bring Bridcut on. So, do you want to bring Bridcut on?
It's a pretty uninspiring bench, I think, really, you know.
Fresh legs on the middle of the park, I guess, is the point the guy was making.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think that was entirely responsible. I just think, you know, like we've seen so many times before, there comes a point where we stop retaining the ball and then we don't build anything. It just gets a bit sloppy, and then depending on who we're playing, we either get like penned in and under ridiculous pressure and can't get out and just have to try and hang on, or you know, or you just develop and it was a scrappy game and no one gets a foot on the ball on either side, and that's what happened at the weekend, and it didn't go our way then either. So it's a bit frustrating, really, that it's just annoying that we threw that away in the last minute. Like,
there's a couple of ways of looking at it as well, Martin, is it, because some people, depends if you're half glass full or, you know.
Or like Gareth.
Because another tweet here, which a few people tweeted along this theme, and Tom Huntley's saying, we have no idea how to attack, absolutely no pattern of play, players standing still, no pace is one thing, no movement. And I guess what you could say with that is West Ham looked like they were there for the taking at the end of the day.
Yeah, they did.
We've come away with nothing, and it's just we have less games to do something now.
Yeah, I mean, but like trying to be positive, I think at this stage in the season, the teams you want to be playing are the teams that, like, in the middle of the league. And I was looking at the league table this morning, and I think like West Ham, Stoke, Palace, obviously we've played West Ham, Newcastle and Everton are all kind of right stuck in the middle. We've got all those teams to play, and I think obviously we've got a really hard end of the season, but I think we've got enough to stay up from our home games. And I think what people shouldn't forget is we haven't actually been in a relegation place all season. You know, you'd think that Poyet had us bottom of the league all year and 0 points.
Historically, it's one of those sides that go down.
But that was the kind of, yeah. I know what you're saying, but I still think we've got the squad. I might be wrong. And
I thought you'd be more worried. I'll be honest.
I am worried, but like trying to be positive.
you don't have to be.
I just feel that like Burnley, QPR, and Leicester will go. I've said that all season. I've seen them play against us, and I think they're the three poorest teams. Obviously, if Burnley hadn't have beaten Man City, then we wouldn't be so worried. Then we've also had like a really good opportunity to jump to 14th, where we finished last season, if we'd won on Saturday night, but we didn't. But we've still got lots of opportunities, you know, at our home games.
How many points do you think you're going to need? 9?
I don't know. I mean,
8? 7 even?
I think even 6 will probably do it. Do you know? But it depends. If somebody does what we did last year, if a couple of teams do that,
yeah, that's a worry.
Then we're probably doomed.
Who do you think's capable of that, though? Only Burnley, you'd say, perhaps.
I mean, I think Villa have had their little purple patch, and then they'll continue to pick. I don't think any of them three are. That's the problem for them. It's a good thing for us. I think if we can, as long as we can avoid defeat. I know it sounds quite sort of negative, like as long as Leicester don't beat us. I think that's going to be like a key game, because.
Well, Leicester and Palace are the two games, really, that you...
Well, you're going to go after Leicester into Arsenal and Chelsea away, so you want to be winning that game, don't you?
It's very similar to the Di Canio thing now, where if we beat Newcastle, the momentum and sort of buzz that we'll pick up from that game will basically keep us up, you know?
So do you think the key is defending well? Because I can't really see where goals are coming from, really, which is it's a recurring thing. I've always thought, apart from, like, Gabbiadini and Gates and Quinn and Phillips, it's generally been in a recurring thing where I've always said I don't see where the goals are coming from, so it all hinges on defence then.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously if you keep a clean sheet, then if we draw all the games we'd probably stop up. I think that was Poyet's theory, wasn't it? But it wasn't working.
Certainly after the 8-0 self-doubt, I think. But you mentioned, I mean, where are we going to get goals from, and Gareth touched on it earlier. Now, a lot of people criticising Defoe for his miss, which is fair enough, I think. His attitude in the last few games have meant that he's got that reaction, because he against Aston Villa he wasn't the only one mind, but didn't look interested at all, did he, in going to try and make his own luck. So if you're going to go on like that, if you're going to behave like that, then you need to make sure you do your job, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't created that many chances for him to miss, have we? That was the most glaring chance that he's had. Mm. I think the goal that he scored against Swansea kind of summed it up, where it was like, if you're going to score in Gus Poyet's team, then you're going to have to pick the ball up from the halfway line, beat everybody and
do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
How many games has he played now, Defoe?
Good question. There's a question.
Maybe about eight.
Well, he's only scored twice.
He's probably. I think it's more than eight.
Is it?
Cup games as well.
He's hardly set the world alight, has he?
It's a positive, though, isn't it, that he got behind frequently. I know he's had a dried up second half, but what I mean is one eye on the Derby game, and you must have a patched up back four. And you think that more time on the training ground, you know, the three players are going to work together more and more. I don't know if I'm just clutching at straws here, but that's what I'm hoping. I mean, that's what I was taking from the game as I was watching.
He was onside a lot more, wasn't he, for his runs? He made some good runs in down the sides as well as through the middle. But I mean that miss. The thing about it is that he was signed, he was judged on this standard, whereas say. That had happened and Altidore had missed, or that had happened and Wickham had missed, or Fletcher had missed, Peter would have been going, that's the kind of chance that someone like Jermaine Defoe will take. And he didn't. And I think when people signed the idea that he was worth all this money, however much we've paid him in wages or whatever, you know, because he'll guarantee goals, this thing was flying, he'll guarantee goals. And then it was like, well, you can't blame him if he's not scoring, but he's not getting the service. It's like, well, when we signed him, the service, it was the same situation, so the goals aren't going to magic out of nowhere. And then when he gets the service and misses a chance like that, I mean, if Altidore had missed that, like Defoe missed that chance, people would have been going mental. And that was a dreadful miss. That I mean,
it was, but what, you but strikers will do that though, don't they? They miss chances.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it happens. I mean, it shouldn't, the amount of money that they get paid, but it does. And
he was almost too confident. Try to side foot it.
I don't know why he did.
He seemed quite calm.
You just put your lasers through those generally. I mean, I'm not telling Jermaine Defoe to finish. But he looked almost overconfident. Man, he side footed it and very relaxed, wasn't it?
But that's that kind of player though, isn't he? When you see him scoring goals, he seems to look relaxed.
Second nature though.
Yeah.
But he could. Why didn't he just like take it on and just like?
So people couldn't have slapped Martin, or
I don't think he's been pilloried like from what I've seen. Well, I'm just judging. I'm judging him on the standards that people set for him when he signed. So
how many clear cut chances has he missed since he's come to Sunderland?
Well, I was just thinking that
probably one, and that was it.
Well, he guaranteed goals, so he's scored in every game, hasn't he? Up to now, I mean, that by that logic, but he hasn't. Because you can't guarantee goals, so I think that's something you've got to learn. You can't just throw money at something and then it'll magically happen. You've got to have a plan. And I think it was pointed out in January by many people that this was a bad plan.
Was this a plan? I agree with the way Poy had set up. I think we said that plenty at the time as well. Was this a plan, or the way Advocat set up? Wickham and Fletcher coming closer, getting prepared to drop behind him for the little flick-ons,
you've got to create chances for him. Phillips used to miss quite a lot of chances. In fact, the first time I saw Kevin Phillips play for us in a pre-season game in Macclesfield, I was sat next to Alan Durbin, who suggested that, who basically scouted him, and he had his head in his hands by the end of the game, saying like, you know, I think Craig Russell's going to be ahead of him next season. And then obviously Phillips turned out quite good, didn't he?
Not bad.
But he used to miss his fair share, you know, and you think about a lot of strikers who are just finishers, you know, Andy Cole did as well, you know, like a lot of players around that time, but... We haven't really. I think we've got to stick with Defoe. We haven't got any choice anyway. But we've created nothing for him.
But it's fine. It's completely fine him missing that chance if there's another five that he gets in the game. But at the minute, he's getting like that chance every second game. You know.
Well, that's it. And we've got to put that right, haven't we? We've got to start creating chances for him. And I think we will. And I think this three will also not always just be three forwards. Then I think you'll see Johnson playing that in that three. I think, you know, you might see Alvarez playing that three if he can. Be bothered
want more as well involved at the weekend,
exactly.
Maybe
you know,
he'll come in at some point. I mean, it probably wasn't the game for him, was it?
But it's nice that we talked.
I was hoping that he would come
weekend.
On, but you know,
it's nice we're talking about strikers so far up the pitch, though. For a change, that makes a change, doesn't
it? He was getting the
ball.
That
we have these
he
problems
was,
to
he was
talk
chasing
about.
The ball, you know, like kind of, and he was only playing against the two centre halves instead of waiting for it to arrive in the box after everybody else was back behind the ball. You know, it was definitely a different. A different setup completely. I think if we play like that for the rest of the season, then we should stay up.
Do you?
Do you not?
I did one of those Premier League predictive things on Sunday. I had half an hour spare.
Never do that.
It wasn't good news at the end.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say that if Poyet was still in charge and that performance had been delivered at the weekend, would Poyet have been accused of being negative because he didn't create any chances in the second half? Would there have been people questioning his team selection because he played the three strikers across the front? Things like that. Was the performance so much better? And there is a caveat that, like Neil was saying, he only had 3 or 4 days to set them up. So the proof of the pudding will be Newcastle, as it's turned, it always seems to be for some reason the last few years. And it's always gone quite well for us. So
by law of averages, it won't this time.
Yeah, it's just one of those seasons. It's one of those seasons where anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
I don't know. See, yeah. Martin mentioned we haven't been in the bottom three all season, which is...
Well, exactly. Yeah, you're timing the run to perfection.
It's remarkable, though, isn't it? It's remarkable, that fact, isn't
Best
it?
Best league in the world.
Well, not really, because, like, we haven't actually been as bad as what people think, you know?
Before Christmas, I thought we were okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be... I mean, I'm trying to kind of be the polar magnetic opposite to Gareth now, continually, but if you look at Poyet's first game against Swansea, who lost 4-0, you know... And considering it's the game that it was falling on from, I think it was, I think it was a positive. The result wasn't positive, but I think it was a positive performance. And the players looked more confident. They didn't look like they were playing, under a cloud. And I think the inclusion of Watmore. It's a shame he didn't get on, and the fact that Johnson's back is got to be a positive thing, for us, because he is capable of winning a game on his own, as he showed. Every time he plays against Newcastle or Fulham away last year, for instance, if he does that once or twice this season, then that'll be enough.
It's going to be the nail-less derby game come up. It's either the perfect game or the worst game you can have, because win that and you think the tails are up and we should be comfortable getting through, lose that and it doesn't matter how new the manager is, the fans could get nasty, the atmosphere could get nasty, and it's all doom and gloom again.
Yeah, it's it seems like bad timing, this game, I suppose.
But are you taking the bad timing angle here? Because some people are saying it's a really good game to have.
Well,
depends which way you look at it.
I'm the opposite to Martin. The glass isn't half full. It's not even half. There's no glass. There's milk all over the floor. And
you've already drank the beer.
There's broken
glass
everywhere. I'm like that. So I see it's kind of bad timing. But in recent matches against him, it hasn't been the best time either. And I've got some friends who are Newcastle supporters, and they're not very confident.
I
think they're less confident than we are. So it's really is one of them anything could happen games. But I think we've got the advantage in we've got the new manager coming in. They're stuck with what's his chops, the little weird Carver.
Yeah, John Carver.
Yeah, he's a weird little fella, him. So,
but he's a Geordie.
Yeah, he must be.
Which is important.
That's even more
apparently
of a disadvantage for them.
I think don't want to get too far ahead and start talking about that game because we've got two podcasts to fill
I know.
But if he takes that system that he employed, I was being devil's advocate, obviously, Martin. I do agree.
No, you weren't.
I do agree with
you.
Just
hiding behind that.
That it was better. They were organised. He tried something different. He was trying to get the best out of Jermaine Defoe, which, whether they should have signed him or not is irrelevant now because we've got him, and Poyet couldn't do that. Advocat found a way to get him involved. He's probably on the ball more in the first half of the game than he's been on the ball in the last two or three games.
Yeah.
So
and like Neil alluded to earlier, that's with 3 days on the training ground.
So if he can get I think they should, they need to keep going with that pragmatic approach for the next few weeks and do that, maybe get the ball forward quickly, get flick ons, because they'll have a patched up defence. I mean, I haven't seen any of the highlights from the weekend from the other games, but I heard Newcastle rallied a bit in the second half and gave Arsenal a bit of the game after having a terrible start, so they might be feeling they can get into us a bit. But if we can sort of carry on a bit of momentum, like Advocat joked, we haven't got loads of players going away on international duty, have we? Especially up front, really. So that's the areas they're going to be working in, and it's opportunities for people. And a few of the younger lads will probably be drafted in as well to cover for those who've gone to international break, so
give them a chance to shine.
And Catamore said himself he loves it when the kids come and play with them, because they can, it lifts them all because of the The
you lost your train of thought there.
I put him off there.
I don't know why Martin gives a look there. Because it, you know, it ups the intensity levels and all that, and there's a bit more pace about training, a bit more intense. So let's hope that
I think
that
if
works.
We actually, if we come out and have a, I know we're not talking about Newcastle, but if we actually, the way they are at the minute and they're struggling defensively, if we actually come out and take the game to them, then I think they'll go another shell, you know. And it would be nice to, you know, that's when I was a kid, that seemed to be the crack where we'd actually. I know it's a bit of a strange philosophy in this day and age, actually starting off the game at full pelt and try to pummel the other team and beat them. I know Gus Poyet would probably have nightmares about that, but I think if there was ever a game to get the crowd up and, you know, try and get an early goal, then...
And it's nice to have... It's nice that we've got the international break beforehand. And if you look at Advocat, he's got... The experience he's got is... It's amazing. He's won stuff all over the world. But then again, I'm always drawn to the negative side, which is just me, which is like, he's had better teams, but also there's been times when things haven't gone so good and he's, like with Borussia Mönchengladbach, I think he had a 20% win ratio. And when things tend not to go good, he'll just bugger off and join a different...
He'll become an international coach.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't win the next two games, he'll end up just going off and managing the Ivory Coast or something, because he joined some weird...
Did we see the way he told his assistant to sit down after Defoe's miss?
No, I didn't say that.
No, did he not say that? And the assistant, I can't remember his name.
The Serbian guy.
Yeah, and he got up and sort of threw a clipboard down in anger. And Advocat,
there's a suspension.
And a Shoji Advocat look at him and he points at him and shouts, "Sit down."
I like the watch thing where he was like pointing at his watch.
He's got a watch on the other hand.
But he's meant to be a strict fella, which I think.
I wouldn't want to cross him.
I think we need, but like.
Short term, you need that, don't you? And luckily, because they're looking at a different long term manager, we don't have to worry about that now.
Yeah, but also, he's not as insane. He's not going to take away the condiments or like threaten to beat people up like previous kind of strict managers that we've had recently.
Talk about the condiments. Apparently, Ronald Koeman.
Got rid of them.
Got rid of ketchup at Southampton.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, they're like
it's
mayonnaise
story,
in Holland, though, don't they? You know what I mean? So you probably introduced mayonnaise.
I thought the mayonnaise
it's
just a cultural thing.
Definitely a Dutch thing. They love the mayonnaise.
Both, isn't it?
Well, a bit of Benelux, you know.
They're next to each other, so, you know, practically the same.
Would Lake Catamore make that much difference in back then?
Definitely.
We were missing some authority in the midfield, weren't we? We're missing creativity.
Energy and
we can't, I don't think we can do anything about that this season.
The thing is, with the three, would you drop Rodwell or Gomez?
Or Gomez.
Because you want some creativity in that game, and if you have a midfield three of Larsson, Catamore and Rodwell,
Gomez has got a goal in him, you know. I'm not his biggest fan, but he's up there in our top scorers.
It's a dilemma then, isn't it?
You've got to have one creative player out of the three, haven't you? Larsson's a bit of both.
Just describing Gomez as a creative player, it really does show the plight that we're in at the moment. Like, dear me.
Well, he's obviously got to work with what he's got, hasn't he? You know what I mean? But
yeah. I mean,
we shall see.
He was actually all right, I thought, the weekend, Gomez. But he didn't have to. He didn't have enough of the ball to dwell on it as much as he does for some reason. They got rid of the ball faster.
It might be better if his manager is expecting him to move the ball quicker, because it's almost like Poyet's granting him the license to dwell on the ball.
His lack of pace is glaring, but. If he knows he has to play the ball forward down the channels, then it doesn't matter how quick you are, you can do that, can't you? He doesn't have to take a touch. If someone's making
game
a run,
be better
they're
again,
never
less,
learned
to less time, like we were saying with Rodwell, less time to think, more off the cuff, more on your own instinct. And
I just think you've got to give Rodwell a run. He's fit. He's been a little brighter recently. He got that goal against Hull. He had a decent start against Villa and then it all went to pot. I just feel as though with Rodwell, he's a man they spent the budget on in the summer. He's a man they want to build a team around. I guess in the future they spent, you know, a 5-year deal.
I think that's
23-year-old lad.
To be honest with you.
They've got to give him. I think that when he's fit, they've got to get him in there and make it work.
I think that's what will happen with them three: Catamore in the middle and Larsson on one side and Rodwell on the other, sort of helping out the fullbacks a bit, which hasn't been happening.
Yeah, especially for a derby as well, because Rodwell's got a bit of a bite to him as well as Larsson and Catamore. So you want.
They all might get sent off.
No, you want to get... have we had a red card in the derby for a while? When's the last time we had a red card in the derby?
Sess got sent off.
Sess and
Catamore get sent off after
the
game?
At the end,
finished.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had one. Spardy got sent off in the one where we got beat 1-0.
Oh, yes,
under
and that
Bruce,
was after the Tessignon one, actually.
To be fair,
no,
it was
before. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Maswell's Cannonball could have got sent off in the first minute.
Yeah. I know, that was great. I mean, just finishing, like, I want to know what you're thinking. Joey Barton was speaking earlier.
No, I'm not interested.
Slightly misquoted a little bit, but what he was saying about the QPR dressing room is that it's flat because they don't feel like they can do anything more. The players are given 100%, and then it's obviously the players aren't good enough. Recruitment wasn't good enough. Now, in the case of Sunderland, I think there's been games where the player application hasn't been acceptable, and it's sort of lead me to believe either that we should be where West Brom are on the table because the attitude of the players should have been better, and we should be safe, and on that basis we'll be fine because a new manager will. We'll up the application, up the work rate, and our quality will see us through. On the other one, we've left it too late and we aren't as good as we think we are and we're going to go down. Which side are you at, Gareth? Don't not talk about just because I mentioned Joey Barton.
Well, I mean, I know we're talking, like, I'll go back to the point Martin's made, is that we've not been in the bottom three all season, so...
So you think the quality's there, clearly?
Well, we're lucky to come up QPR.
I think quality's pushing it a bit.
Relatively.
I am worried that in games like on Saturday, there seemingly just isn't somebody who is going to do something. I think the thing is, a lot of people talk about West Brom going down this year, and I thought they signed some decent attacking players. I mean, Adair's come into form, I didn't really know a lot about him, but and Varela, who I thought was a good player, went and did nothing, and he's gone now. I mean, they've got Sessegnon, Berahino. I mean... You'd Sessegnon to get in our team at the moment without a doubt, in my opinion. So, I mean, they've already got one better forward player than us, and I think that's, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, you're only as good as your striker, in the words of Mr. Bruce, but at the same time, you need somebody with a spark. Last season, it was Wickham, who came from nowhere and did something, and it was there was less games remain.
Much worse position.
In a much worse position.
Freakish though.
And then before that, you could argue maybe Sessegnon was a bit of a catalyst because he had two good games against Newcastle and Everton, and Johnson obviously. So where's it going to come from?
In a strange way, I think Cattermole can be a catalyst. Not in a great attacking option, but he seems to, you know, he'll go in and clatter somebody, and that lifts the fans, and then that lifts other players seem to respond to it to a certain extent.
Increases the intensity as well.
Yeah, and you know, he gives them less time on the ball, and it seems to perk everybody up a bit. So, you know, he'll make a big difference, not so much in an attacking sense, but he picks the crowd up and picks the players up.
No, I agree with that.
But that's on the who's going to deliver on the back of that. I mean, this is it, we say it every week. Oh, Rodwell. I just think Rodwell, change your manager.
His trajectory is on the up.
Yeah,
it looks like
it's got to be him, in my opinion. Yeah. He's the one who's got to say, I cost 10 million quid. People are questioning us. You know, I'm going to go and prove, you know, and maybe he can later go, oh, well, you know, the change of manager was a catalyst because in that system I didn't really work, and now we move the ball quicker. You know, we're not keeping as much, and I can get onto stuff and all this kind of thing. Runs into the box
as well. Like we were saying before, the bench looked really weak against West Ham. But if you start with Johnson and Cattermole against Newcastle, you're gonna have a lot more options on the bench, aren't you? You know, just because of
is Chattarini injured?
Yeah, he's out for the season. Yeah, but if you've got Alvarez and Watmore and Gomez on the bench,
and then you'd have probably, if Johnson comes back in, you're going to have either Fletcher or Wickham going to be on the bench,
and then Graham's going to be on the bench as well, isn't he? And you know, something strange might happen, like Danny Graham might
first
score
goal
his
again,
first goal. That'll keep us up.
Do.
You know,
that'll
this
do
is Sunderland after
that.
All. You know,
right,
right.
Well, if we're doing a score prediction or anything, I finish. I just want to ask people if they think we'll stay up. The gut instinct.
I think
you'll be honest.
I think we'll stay up based on the fact that the teams below us are weaker, and also we kind of been there and done it. It's almost like we're used to this now. And in the past, when I've seen us go down time and time again,
Wigan eventually though.
I know, but all these teams like Southampton and Coventry that used to stay up every year when we used to go down in the 80s, in the 90s.
They eventually went.
They did eventually go. I'm trying to be positive. Stop interrupting us. But I just think QPR were lucky to come up. Leicester are gone. You know, So I think Burnley are the only one that could be
Hull
wrong.
Of a tough run.
Yeah, I think Hull are weaker than us. You know, I thought at the start of the season that Palace and West Brom would be weaker than us, but you know they've brought in managers who've done well and know the league. So I think if Burnley pull out of it, it's between us, Villa and Hull. So statistically, you know, mathematically, I think the odds are in our favour.
I think Hull's fixtures dictate that it's going to be difficult for them to pull away. And I know actually played quite well in the second half, the first half yesterday, and then in the second half they had those chances, but they're going to find it difficult to kick on. I mean, they've got, what, five of the top seven left to play now in their last eight games. So
a couple of points better off, though. So you think
they are.
We were saying we could possibly need 8 points to stay up. So therefore, Hull would only need 6 on that basis. And that's only
true.
2 wins. And they do have Leicester to play, and I think they have Palace to play.
But the rest are tough, though. I think they've got Arsenal,
Spurs.
But
they might not need them. They might need 6 points. That's just to put a downer on things.
Hull have got that thing, though, where they seem to play really poorly against teams around them. I wonder, that's familiar.
Well, that's Steve Bruce, isn't it?
They deserve to go down because they couldn't beat that Sunderland side that night. Which is, honestly, apart from Villa, that's the worst Sunderland performance I've seen in years. Yeah. And any half-decent team, like Villa did the week after, or the game after, would have had us 4-0 down.
It was the worst midfield selection ever.
But I couldn't believe what I was watching, and we got a point out of that game, so they deserve to go down the base of that. You said you're negative, Neil, generally.
I actually think we'll stay up. just looking at the other teams around us, I suppose, and if things do go, pick up for Burnley, the Hull do have a bad run in. But I'd like to say, as a safety net, if we do go down, I don't think it'll be so much a bad thing, because some of my favourite memories are us in the third and second division, where we've gone out and we're tonking people and everybody's happy and we're winning things. And it gives you a chance to get rid of the dead wood and getting some new, young, exciting players. And so if we do go down, I'm happy with it.
Yeah,
but I don't think we will.
We'll all try and convince ourselves that if we go down as well. join us on Thursday at the end of the night, where we'll have to think of something to talk about, Gareth.
Special guest by the look of it as well. The special. So get tuned in for that. If hopefully it works now, I've said that out loud.
I know. We're not name drop or anything.
Mourinho.
we wouldn't have him on.
Right. Okay. Thanks for listening. Over out.